In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Tomorrow is the Nativity of the Theotokos, or actually I should say Monday is the Nativity of the Theotokos, one of the 12 great feasts of the Lord and the Theotokos. And of course we will celebrate it with services on Sunday afternoon or evening and Monday. And the Vespers readings will be about the Theotokos. They're from the Old Testament. I'm just going to go over one of them now. And that is the first one, that is about the ladder from heaven, the spiritual ladder. In the service, we call her the spiritual ladder. And that's one of the names or nicknames for the Mother of God. There's a lot of nicknames. We call her the rod that budded, and the ark, and the house of God, and the spiritual ladder. And there's many other names that we have for her. Generally, you can tell how important somebody is to how many names there are for them. How many names do we have for the Lord, right? The Lion of Judah, the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Man of Sorrows. We have many, many names for Jesus Christ. And that shows how important he is. Well, we have many other names, names also for the Mother of God. Now, we venerate the Mother of God because she bore Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And our Lord considered her very important because on the cross, as he was in the last part of his death agony, he made a point to say to St. John, to the Theotokos, woman, behold thy son, and son, behold thy mother, to make sure that the Theotokos was taken care of. And the apostles loved her and learned much from her. Much of the phronema of the church is from her. The spirit, the things that she learned from her son, that she treasured in her heart, that St. Luke so laconically says, those things were transmitted through her being a mentor for perhaps 30 years to the apostles. And so we venerate her because she's the mother of our Lord. And reasonable people always have great respect for those who are involved in the lives of those they respect. So we respect, love, honor, worship Jesus Christ. So those that those that he honors, we honor. He honors his mother, so we honor her. I think that in this day, when there's so much egalitarianism, it's an idea that basically my idea is as good as your idea. How dare you think your idea is better than mine? How dare you think your way of life is better than my way of life? I can do what I want. You can do what you want. Don't you dare say that what I do is inferior to you. That's our way of life nowadays. But that's not true. There are good ways to live and bad ways to live. Good ways to think and bad ways to think. Good people and bad people. There's righteousness and unrighteousness. And we must recognize righteousness. Christianity is not being egalitarian. We have a Lord and our Savior. We're to be obedient to him. And we're to cultivate in ourselves a profound sense of humility, that we are unworthy, and yet God loves us. And God will save us. The spirit of the world doesn't believe that. The spirit of the world instead changes Jesus. I was just talking today and saying that the world wants nice Jesus. We don't believe in nice Jesus. We believe in our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, who is a judge and also a helper and an intercessor for us. So, we in honoring the Mother of God, we humble ourselves. She's just a human being, just like us. But she became something more than we'll become because she changed completely when our Lord lived in her womb for 9 months. It's a very important thing to understand. That's why we venerate her so highly. Now, unfortunately, through the Middle Ages and such, there became a lot of bizarre things that were said about the Mother of God, of the Latins. We don't subscribe to any of that stuff. But we must humble ourselves and honor the Mother of God because the Lord honors her. So that's point one and very important. And I think as you grow in your Orthodox faith, you start to really increase in the honoring of the Mother of God. I had a sort of a eureka moment about that some time ago when I realized that the monks who defended the nature of Christ, the dual nature of Christ and his divinity, his humanity, his two wills, all his virgin birth, all the rest, that they, the greatest defenders of Christ, were also great venerators of the Mother of God, like St. Gregory Palamas, for instance. And so I started to think about that, think that they're very humble. So I should humble myself and ask the Mother of God for help. Anytime that we speak to the Mother of God, we're also thinking of Christ, because she is the Mother of God. She doesn't exist in some sort of vacuum. She is an intercessor for us because she brings our prayers to her Son. And we believe, as the apostles did, that the effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So that's the background to why we venerate the Mother of God. Now, the first reading from Genesis is about the ladder. And I won't quote it in full, but basically Jacob is going to a certain place and he sleeps and he sees this ladder in a dream. The ladder is reaching down from earth to heaven, or from heaven to earth, and the angels are going up and down on it. Now, this vision, the church has always understood to be the Mother of God. The Mother of God is that ladder by which God came down. But Jacob says it's none other but the house of God and the gate of heaven. And certainly, the Theotokos was a house for God for 9 months, and the gate by which the Lord descended from heaven to earth, that's the incarnation, so that we could ascend from earth to heaven. It's a very holy sight. And the earth, the ladder is grounded on the earth, but also reaches into the heavens. And that it's on earth is an indication of the humanity of the Mother of God. She's of earth, just like we are. But out of earth came forth heaven. And the ladder extending all the way shows that our life should be holy, extending all the way to heaven. That's just one of the three readings from the Feast for the Mother of God. The other one would be from Ezekiel and from Proverbs, I believe. Yes, Ezekiel and Proverbs. One of them shows, for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, the perpetual virginity of the Mother of God. The Mother of God had no other children after Christ. And the other one is about wisdom. And of course, wisdom in the scripture is most often, when wisdom is personified, it's speaking of Jesus Christ. And she is, of course, then the mother of wisdom, the mother of Jesus Christ. She's not the originator of wisdom. God is the originator of wisdom. But she is the mother of Jesus Christ, who is personified in the Old Testament as wisdom. May our Lord, through the prayers of the Mother God, help us to be more humble. If we're more humble, then everything good can happen to us. Nothing good happens with pride. We've seen it in our life, haven't we? So many times when we react with pride to things, it never works out well. Ever. We might get what we want, but it never works out well. It's always destructive to the soul, like pouring acid on our skin. So we have to learn to be more humble. The Mother of God was very humble. We don't have any written words from her. She certainly could read and write. We have nothing written from her that's been preserved. We have very little that we know of her life. But we see the imprint of her life on the church. And the more you grow in the church, the more you see how she truly mentored the apostles, to be able to assimilate the teachings that the Lord had given them and to give them power and strength. That's why we venerate her so highly. So through the prayers of the Most Holy Theotokos, O Lord our God, have mercy on us, O save us. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.